During last week's primary election in Wisconsin, voters narrowed down the race for a seat on the state Supreme Court. Wisconsin judicial races are technically nonpartisan, meaning that candidates aren't listed as belonging to one party or another. But voters paying attention likely knew the political leanings of the candidates. One even said he was a Democrat. Our next guest wrote an article for our partner WisContext and took a look at the role politics is playing in these supposedly nonpartisan races. Aaron Weinschenk is an associate professor of political science at UW Green Bay. Aaron, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, as we approach this primary race last week, there was a lot of overt talk about politics from a couple of the candidates. What kind of things were we hearing leading up to the race?
Yeah, I think as you mentioned, some of them were explicitly saying what their partisan affiliation was. Some of them ran ads featuring partisan figures like President Trump. So, it was pretty easy if you were paying attention to the race to pick up on what people's partisan leanings were or what their ideology might be.
And even when the justices or the justice candidates aren't specifically saying these things, very often they're getting donations from a political party or speaking at party conventions. These nonpartisan races have a lot of partisan overtones, right?
Yeah, exactly. It seems like they're nonpartisan in name only, and that, you know, it doesn't take much work to glean, what the affiliations are of different candidates in a lot of these races.
And that's where some research you did comes in. The question is, do voters treat these as partisan races? How did you try to sort out whether the voters of Wisconsin had a partisan approach when they voted for a Supreme Court candidate?
Yeah, so I was specifically interested in the connection between presidential politics and these races, these, again, nonpartisan races. So I gathered data on presidential election outcomes in Wisconsin counties and then the election returns in a bunch of the judicial races just to see if there was any relationship. So, you know, I think most people would say that how a county voted in a presidential race is a pretty good measure of partisanship. So is there any connection between those two? And it turns out that there is a very strong connection, at least in a lot of the elections that have happened in Wisconsin in the past 10 years or so.
Yeah, break down some of your data for us. Take us on a little tour.
Yeah, so I started by the thing that motivated me was, like, let's look at this in the primary that just happened. So I gathered data on how Trump did in each of the Wisconsin 72 counties and then how the conservative candidate did, and really, really strong correlation between the two. So if you know how the county voted in the presidential race, you can do a pretty good job predicting of how they're going to vote in the Supreme Court race. And then I was like, I'm curious, does this happen in other races? So I went back all the way to 2003, did the same thing, and found really strong relationships between the presidential vote in the county and vote for the Supreme Court candidate.
So what's happening there? Does that mean voters are seeing these partisan cues in these nonpartisan judicial races?
So I think, well, you can't really say anything about what individual voters are thinking when you're using counties, but to me it does say that there is a strong partisan component to the vote. If there wasn't, there wouldn't be any connection between these two measures of people's preferences. So it seems like partisanship is structuring how people are voting in these races, at least in the aggregate.
Talking to Aaron Weinschenk, political scientist at UW Green Bay, about Wisconsin Supreme Court elections and how partisan politics often makes its way into these officially nonpartisan races. Aaron, I want to take a step back because not every state does this like Wisconsin does. We have these nonpartisan elected judges. Some places there's elections, but they actually run on a party label. Some places there's no elections. Why do we have it the way we have it in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so a lot of the way that we do things is rooted in specific points in history or specific reforms that were brought up. And so the idea that we should use nonpartisan elections in state and local races actually dates back to the Progressive Era, which is a period of political reform and social reform in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And one of the ideas was we should use nonpartisan races to try to remove national politics or partisan affairs from these races at state and local levels of government.
Has that worked at all?
Well, at least in the past 10 years in Wisconsin, it doesn't seem to have worked. There's clearly a partisan component. Although in one of the races that I looked at, which was the 2003 race, there actually wasn't much of a connection between the presidential vote and the Supreme Court vote in that year. So to me, that suggests that it isn't always the case that partisanship is playing a role, but at least in the last 10 years or so in Wisconsin, it has been.
Now, in a partisan political race, a voter, and I know it's hard to talk about individuals here, but voters can look at a candidate and say, oh, they're from the party I prefer, I'll vote for them, or they have a political platform that I like, I'll vote for them. How do voters evaluate judges? Do we know what a good judge is?
Yeah, I think that's the argument for some other sort of selection mechanism, like a commission recommending to the governor or some other political institution making the appointment. Is, you know, maybe they don't really know what it takes to be a good judge. Maybe they don't know anything about the rulings that these people have made. And so, do you want individual voters making these kinds of choices?
And not, as we said, not all states do have elections. What other kind of systems are out there for appointing judges?
That's right. You could have something like a council that advises a governor or the legislature. You could have, say, the governor just directly appoint judicial candidates, although I think that clearly brings partisanship into it since governors have partisan attachments. You could have a commission where, you know, they make the appointments. So there are other arrangements that I think we could consider. We sort of get locked into this idea of, like, this is what we've always had, so we have to have it forever. But we could change it if we didn't like what partisan elections were doing.
Can you talk a little bit about turnout in these judicial elections? They're in the spring. They're pretty far from the big ticket items like races for governor, Senate, and president. Do we turn out to vote for judges?
Yeah, it's not particularly good. We're pretty low on these races that are, you know, off cycle from a gubernatorial election or a presidential election. And then the fact that people don't have a lot of information about them, I think, hurts them. You know, they don't get all kinds of attention in the media. If you're really paying attention, you'll probably know and be aware, but, you know, they're not like a presidential race or a gubernatorial race where every day you're seeing ads or reading news stories about them. So they're hard to learn about.
And you mentioned earlier one of the reasons for these nonpartisan judicial races wasn't just to keep the parties out, but you said the word to keep national politics out. And in Wisconsin, have we seen national political figures weigh in on our Supreme Court elections?
Yeah, we have seen people endorse judicial candidates again in these nonpartisan races. So in 2011, I found a story where Sarah Palin endorsed the conservative candidate. Of course, the candidates in this race are actually mentioning political figures. Not that that's an endorsement, but they are referencing people like the president. So that gives people pretty clear cues about what that person believes, or at least what side of the aisle they're on.
And what kind of research do you want to do next to follow up on this issue?
Yeah, I'd like to take a look at other states. You know, there are a good number of states that have nonpartisan elections. So I'd like to see, you know, if the same thing is happening there, that that these are basically partisan contests that are being called nonpartisan.
And you mentioned that just because we, you know, established this kind of election a century ago or whatever doesn't mean we have to do it forever. Do states around the country tend to change how they elect judges once they're locked in a particular way?
It's pretty rare. We get sort of stuck on a path, and it's usually hard to convince people to change. But there are states that have changed. Some have actually decided to move from nonpartisan to partisan elections. Some have gone in the other direction where they've had partisan, not liked it, and moved to some other mechanism. So it's pretty rare, but it does happen.
Is there, as we wrap up, is there a lot of academic research on how nonpartisan elections work?
There's not a lot, but there is a small group of people, I would say, who do work in this area, and a lot of them are trying to figure out if they actually do what they are intended to do. Do they really keep politics out? Do they increase turnout or decrease turnout? So there is some work being done on this.
We'll leave it there for now. Aaron, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
We've been talking to Aaron Weinschenk. He's an associate professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. He joined us to talk about partisanship in our nonpartisan, officially nonpartisan judicial races in Wisconsin, especially looking at the state Supreme Court. We're in the midst of an election campaign there now. He recently wrote a piece about the growing influence of politics in court races over at WisContext. You can read his piece at wiscontext.org.